Well, please have your Bibles open at Psalm 86, this prayer of David that we read together. And I just want to just bring a few thoughts for us this evening from Psalm 86, David's prayer. And there are various techniques, aren't there, when we're studying God's word, whether privately or together, when we're preaching. And one of the techniques is to ask questions of the passage. And that's what I'd like us to do this evening. We'll pose three questions to this passage. And I really hope and pray that as we look at this and see these answers revealed, that our hearts will be encouraged this evening. So the first question that I'd like us to ask of this passage is, what does David request? What does David request? And I think it's really important that we notice here that they are requests. They are not demands. See, God does not work for us. And I think sometimes it can be tempting that we get into this frame of mind of, well, we put our demands in and then he answers them and the cycle just repeats. And I think it's really good as we read through this prayer together and we notice how David brings his requests to God. Very appropriately, he knows his place before the ruler of the universe. And so he in the right way, brings his requests to God. So what does he request? Well, firstly, he asks that God will listen to him. There in verse one, and in the songs that we've been singing as well, there in verse one, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me. And also in verse six, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea. David asks God that he would listen to what he's saying and he would answer him. Is this because God's prone to not listening? Prone to losing his attention, getting distracted? No. What David recognizes here, and we see it in verse one where he says, I am poor and needy. David has a very clear picture, a true and accurate picture of the Lord there on the throne in heaven, creator of the universe, ruler of everything. And there is David, a sinner. And David asks the Lord, please listen to me. Give ear to my cry. Listen to my plea. And I find this really encouraging. Because it is that God is always listening to us. Always. We don't have to think to ourselves, is God listening to me? Might I just be able to get his attention? No matter how small that we feel, no matter how insignificant we feel, we know that God is listening to us. And I think it's wonderful the way that David approaches the Lord. Incline your ear, O Lord, and listen to my plea. Well, we too can ask that the Lord will listen to us as we speak to him. And he has promised that he is always listening to us, his children, when we speak to him in prayer and we bring our requests to him. David asks the Lord to listen to him. David also asks for protection. In verse 2, David is asking, preserve my life, save your servant. And then verse 7, in the day of my trouble, I call upon you. And in verse 16, he's asking for strength. Clearly, here, David is in great trouble. This isn't just some tick list. Well, I'll ask for protection as well. I'll tick that one off. David here is in great danger, great trouble. And he really needs help. What does he do? Does he panic? Does he give up? Does he flee? He turns to God. And this is exactly the right response. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what trouble you are in. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's employment. Maybe it's issues with the family. Maybe it's discouragement. It doesn't matter what situation we are in. We can run to the Lord. We can go to God. We don't need to panic. We don't need to flee. We can turn to God. And David does exactly that. we can clearly see in this prayer by what he says that actually his life is in danger. And yet he goes to the Lord, he goes to the right place and asks that the Lord will protect him. We know, don't we, that the Lord made us. He made you and he made me. And he cares for us. And therefore, when we're in trouble, whether it be financial, health, our lives are at risk, whatever trouble we're in, he loves to help us. That's the fact of the matter about God, is that he loves to help us and he will protect us. We are his creation. We are his children. And he will give us that protection. So David asks that the Lord would listen to him, and he asks for protection in his very vulnerable state. He goes to the Lord and asks for protection. But he also asks for grace. And I think this is a wonderful thing for David to pray. And I think I can learn great lessons from this, praying for grace. Verse 3, be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Verse 6, listen to my plea for grace. Verse 16, be gracious to me. And then verse 17, show me a sign of your favor. Grace is undeserved favor. So David, a number of times in this prayer, asks God for grace. It's totally appropriate. Our God is a gracious God. And David acknowledges that a number of times in this prayer. God is gracious. And therefore David goes to God and asks for grace, undeserved favor. He knows his position before God. He knows how undeserving he is. But he knows how loving and gracious God is. And so he goes to God and asks for grace. And I think that's wonderful. God is gracious. God pours grace on our lives day by day, you and me, in various different ways and in various situations. And we can go to God boldly with confidence and we can pray, Lord, please show me your favor. Lord, please be gracious to me. And God loves to be gracious towards us. We must always remember that when God gives to us, he doesn't give out of any form of reluctance whatsoever. When he hears you pray to him as a child of God and you speak to him and you say, Father, help me with this, give me grace. When you give your pleas up to God, he smiles down and he loves the fact that you're asking him. He loves the fact that you've come to him, my child, and he loves to pour out his grace upon you and upon me. What a God we have. He is the God of grace, and we can ask him to be gracious to us. And he answers us in wonderful ways, unspeakable ways. And I'm sure we could testify, each of us this evening, to ways in which God has been very gracious towards us. So David asks God for grace. David also asks for instruction. And there's something else that I can really learn from. He is asking that the Lord would give him instruction or teaching. There in verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. See, a lot of the time, and I guess we're all prone to this in a way, our prayers can be quite selfish, can't they? Give me this, give me this, give me this. And the Lord wants to hear our requests, and he tells us that we should, with thanksgiving, bring to him our requests. But what a wonderful thing to ask of the Lord, that he would teach us, that we may walk in obedience. It is the wonderful separation of Christians over others, is this walk of obedience with the Lord. But how can we do that? We can only do that when the Lord graciously teaches us his way. He's given us his word. He's given us his son. He's given us his spirit. And we can pray, Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Help me to be obedient to you. It's so easy, isn't it, to wander this way and wander that way. We know that broad is the path that leads to destruction. So easy to go that way. So easy to follow. Yet narrow is the path that leads to salvation. And so it's appropriate that we ask, please teach me your way, O Lord. Help me to walk in obedience to you. And it's really something that we should be praying daily, isn't it? As we look into God's word, maybe in our private times together, as we read God's word, or maybe corporately, that we pray, Lord, please, as I read your word, and maybe as I go about my daily business, teach me your way, that I may walk in your truth. Help me to be obedient to you, Lord. So we can see here that there's a number of things that David requests from the Lord. And I think it's really good for us to look at this. And there's a number of prayers, there's loads of prayers recorded in God's word. And it's really helpful for us to read the prayers of David, that we can learn from it. What can we ask of the Lord? And we can learn, well, that the Lord loves to listen to us, that the God who made you will protect you, that God loves to pour out his grace on our lives, and how important it is that we ask daily that the Lord will teach us his way so that we can walk in obedience to his word. So there's a number of things that David brings as requests to the Lord. Second question, why is he so confident in God? As we read this prayer together, we can see very clearly that David has absolute confidence in God. Why? Why is he so confident in God? Well, there's lots of reasons. We'll look at a number of them. We see here, and God and David acknowledges this, that God is good and forgiving. You see, when we bring our requests to God and we're praying for good things, I'm not talking about praying, can my football team win? Can I have a fast car? I'm talking about praying to God for the good things that we need in our lives. God is good and he's forgiving. That's in verse 5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving. Because God is good, God is only good. It's not like he's got quite a lot of goodness. There's only good in God and he is forgiving. So when we pray to him and when we ask for these good things, whether it be for our protection or for him to shower us with grace or for him to instruct us in his word or many of the other things perfectly good that we come to our Heavenly Father and ask for, he is good. And so he wants to do good to his children. I think it's a real difficulty sometimes when we're reminded of our sinfulness. And that's right. And we do need to be reminded of our sinfulness. But it can make us reluctant to go to God. Oh, I'm not sure I can go to God. I'm such a sinner. I've done lots of things wrong. Will he be able to forgive me? Will he even be able to accept me? God is forgiving, okay? And he sent his son to pay the price that we may be forgiven. That price is paid. That debt has been paid in full. And so forgiveness is dealt with. And so despite our sins, and this is the wonder of it, we can still come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Great is the mercy and grace of our Lord God. So David has absolute confidence in God because he is good and forgiving, but also because God is full of love for us. God is full of love for us. Let's look at verse 5 again. David says that the Lord is abounding in steadfast love to those who call upon him. Abounding in steadfast love. Now, I love terms like this when we read God's word, because it tells us not of a little trickling stream, but of an abundant flow of love that is steadfast. It's constant. It's not on and off. It's not like this unreliable car that sometimes starts and doesn't, or sometimes a heating system works and sometimes it doesn't. God's love upon us is abounding. And so we can have great confidence as we come to him. He doesn't blow hot and cold in his emotions towards us. He is always full of love towards you and towards me. He looks at you and he sees the perfection of his son. He loved you so much that he gave his son up that you may be forgiven for the wrong things that you have done. And that's just wonderful, the extent of God's love for you and for me. God is full of love for us. David is also confident because God is faithful. This is one of the wonderful characteristics of God. God has many, many characteristics that we read about in his word. God is faithful. In verse 7, David says that he cries out to God in his day of trouble, "For you answer me." Not just in case you might answer me, or that one time a couple of years ago you answered me. "For you answer me" demonstrates David's great confidence in God. That's what you do, God. You answer me. You are faithful. And verse 15, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." David has absolute confidence in God because he is faithful. If God says he's going to do something, you can guarantee that he's going to do it. You don't have to wonder if God might do something that he's promised to do. Every promise he's made, he has kept. And so when we go to him, we can go with the confidence of David. David has confidence in God because he is faithful. David has experienced God answering his prayer over years in his life, and he knows that God is faithful to continue answering his pleas for help. David has confidence in God because he is powerful. We come to a God who has all power. Our God has so much power, and we can be confident in him. David has his confidence placed in the right thing, that is God. Sometimes we place our confidence in the wrong place, don't we? Sometimes we are really confident in something and actually it lets us down. In the middle of winter, when it's freezing cold and I go outside my front door, in the days when I used to go to the office anyway, and I've got my work backpack on and I unlock the car and I sit there and I put the key in the ignition and I have great confidence that this car's going to start. Started hundreds of times before. And you turn the key, nothing. I put my trust in the car and it let me down. But God is not like that. God isn't unreliable. God is powerful. And this God that we have, his power surpasses any power that we can think of on this earth. Maybe we think we could go to a higher power, an earthly power. That's still no good. God is powerful. David says in verse 10, "You are great and do wondrous things." I don't know what requests you have of God. Maybe your requests are big. Maybe your trials are big and you need lots of help and support from the Lord. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need something miraculous, or you need God to do something great for you. God is all powerful. He is great and he does wondrous things for you and for me. David has great confidence in God because he is powerful. He is all powerful. And lastly, David has confidence in God because he is incomparable. You can't get anything anywhere to compare with God. He is beyond compare. David says in verse 8, "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours." And in verse 10, David acknowledges, "You alone are God." You see, we could pray to a piece of wood, useless. We could pray to a piece of stone or metal, useless. We could seek help from other people, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. But God is beyond comparison. There is nothing on this earth that can compare with the God of creation. He is beyond compare. So it's not like, well, I could go to God, but I could also go to this other thing. That's, you know, maybe one day I'll do this and the other day I'll do the other. Our God is beyond compare. You can't compare him to anything. So great is he and so mighty is he. And so we see in this prayer, as David brings his requests to God, we see his great confidence, his absolute confidence. And we see the backing and the reasoning behind this confidence that David has in his God that he prays to. Third question. Bearing in mind that David prayed this prayer thousands of years ago, what does this mean for us today? Here we are. We're in the year 2021. Our circumstances are very different, no doubt. What does this mean for us today? This God to whom David prays is the very same God to whom we pray. The very same God. We know, don't we, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. The earth has changed, for sure. We have changed, absolutely. Technology, all sorts of things have changed. But God has not. God remains constant and consistent. The God that David prayed to, this prayer that we're looking at this evening, that God is the very same God that we come before. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, as we bring our requests to God this evening, and whenever we bring our requests to God, we can do so with the same boldness and the same confidence that David had. We looked at David's confidence and we said that God is all powerful. I like cars, so forgive the car illustration again. If you go out and buy a brand new car, let's say it's got 200 horsepower. That's how powerful the engine is. You keep that car 10, 20 years and you take it to a test facility. Does it have 200 horsepower? No. Maybe, I don't know, 150, 180, I don't know. You see, it loses power. God doesn't do that. The God of power and might that David prayed to is the same God that we pray to, and he's got exactly that much power still. God is constant and consistent and he never changes, which means that when we read in David's prayer that God is good and forgiving, full of love, faithful, powerful, incomparable, it's the same right now, this very moment. God is the same God, this faithful one, this loving one, this one who loves to shower us with grace, is the same today. And is the same forever. And we looked also and we saw that part of David's confidence in God was because he is incomparable. There's nothing to compare to him. Imagine 30 years ago, you went out and you bought the most powerful laptop that money could buy. The best laptop you could possibly afford. Compare that to a new laptop today. Probably even the cheapest laptop today. It's not going to be any good, is it? But with God, it's not like that. God doesn't get outmoded and superseded. God is beyond compare in history past, right now today, and for eternity to come. God is the same. God is always good, always full of love. He is faithful, powerful, and he is beyond compare. And so as we look at this prayer of David together, as we see the type of things that he requests. And I hope we can learn from that. And our prayers can be littered with requests that God would shower grace upon our lives and that God would give us his instruction that we may be walking faithfully with him. And we can have that great confidence because he is the same God that David prayed to, and he hasn't changed one bit. His love towards you never diminishes. His power never diminishes. And he is still beyond compare. It doesn't matter what technology comes in the years to come. It doesn't matter what steps human beings think they have made in terms of progress. He will always be beyond any comparison. Brothers and sisters, I trust this is of encouragement to you. As we just have had this short time to consider together David's prayer, that we can bring our requests to God, that we can have absolute confidence, and that we can be assured the God that David prayed to is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can still come and pray to him with great confidence.